Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Blue Wire.
The Arizona Cardinals select Kyler Murray.
And the 2019 Offensive Rookie of the Year is Kyler Murray.
This year's most valuable player, Lamar Jackson.
He jumps it himself. Look at him turn back and forth. Oh! He broke his ankles! He is Houdini! Touchdown! Patrick Mahomes with a rope! Chiefs are Super Bowl champions here in Miami.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Established Pass Podcast, presented by Clutch Points and our friends at Blue Wire. I'm your host, Blake Lovell. With me is my co-host, Dylan Reagan, here. We're back for part four of our 2021 NFL mock draft. We've gone through, we've made our picks up until pick number 24 at this point. We rounded out the first round with 25 through 32. So, as we said in the previous several episodes, if you haven't listened to those first, I would highly suggest hitting pause, going back, listening to the three episodes prior to this one to know how we got to this point at number 25. And Dylan, you know, we're about to make our picks, but we are only days away now from the NFL teams actually making their picks. And plenty of rumors out there, plenty of smoke screens, I think, as well. It will be interesting to see, and we said this on the first part of our mock draft we did a couple weeks ago. If our top 10 holds the form, we should play the lottery because I think it's going to be very hard to kind of know which way some of these teams are going to go. Again, lots of rumors out there as we head into the draft getting started this week.
Yeah, the one part that, you know, initially we were kind of joking, it seemed ridiculous that no defenders were taken in our top 10 of the draft, which has never happened. But now, like even today, Ian Rappaport saying there's a slim to maybe even better than slim chance that we actually see this happen, just based on the highly talented offensive players we have, and especially at such, you know, really key positions. So yeah, like you're saying, that whatever that order of the top 10 outside of the top two, if we are able to get that right, that would be incredible, especially with a team that we have trading up into the top 10. I don't think that's necessarily going to be the case, especially starting at number three, because all the rumors now, it seems like the Niners are not taking Justin Fields. I'll give away the one pick that we had there, but again, it's more of what we think probably would be the best decision there, yeah. And it sounds more like Mac Jones is the guy, maybe still Trey Lance, but otherwise, yeah, it's going to be, I mean, maybe we still do see 10 offensive players in the top 10 like we have. Maybe it's someone else. I've seen some mocks. We didn't take Jalen Waddle too late, but I've seen some that had him going in the top 10. So it's kind of – the rumors are, like you're saying, who knows how many are actual, substantial, factual basis in terms of where they're coming from. But, yeah, we're almost there. And, yeah, the rumors and all the reports have kind of evolved as we've done this draft. And we did obviously put in the new pick with the Ravens trading Orlando Brown to the Chiefs to get a couple, to get another second or first round pick here. But otherwise, I think we only have made one trade, which is a lot less than last year's mock draft. We'll see, I guess, if we think of any for this last one as we go. But right now, we're holding the form otherwise.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think it's going to be interesting because, as we said, you know, as we say every year, smoke screens, you don't know what's true, what's not true, what direction some of these teams are going to go. Mm-hmm. But at least at this point, we have tried to put it together, and now is where everything gets even more crazy, because we have reached the back half of the first round, and, you know, the very back part, the back fourth, I guess is the best way to put it. As we go into pick number 25, as we've done throughout these in our mock draft, going back to last season as well, we alternate picks, and I am on the clock, number 25, yes, with the Jacksonville Jaguars, who, no spoiler needed here. By the way, we took Trevor Lawrence at number one, in case you had any doubts about that, took the Jags. So they've already picked up their quarterback of the future. Now it's a matter of seeing where do they go from here. And I think this is where things, again, get interesting, because we've kind of at that point, Dylan, where we've talked a lot about wide receiver and not necessarily knowing maybe where some of these guys could land. We've already had, let's see, we've had several off the board to this point. I think we've had four, maybe.
Four, I believe.
Yeah, I think we've had four off the board. Some of them at the very top, pretty obvious, I think, overall when you think about it. But I do believe that this is a spot that I've really been thinking about here, and I think I've narrowed it down to wide receiver and safety for the Jags. Now, you can make the argument that, okay, they already got a very talented offensive player with their number one pick. Do they go defense here, knowing that, something you have to keep in mind, the Jags picked very quickly, too, into the second round, where they have the number 33 pick, and then they have, again, the number 45 pick. So they've got some picks here to work with, which I think makes this a – I think it makes it tougher, because it's like you don't really know who's going to be available in some of these spots. But I think I'm actually going to change my initial thought here, because I had a guy in mind, but – I have a guy in mind, but I don't know if he's going to make it to where I would like to pick him with another one of the teams I'm picking for. So here's what I'm going to do. How about this? We're going to have a first here. This is suspense right here, but I'm trying to think if there's a way to do this, but I don't, well, because I don't think they're going to do that, because I think the Jags would just pick the guy himself. Well, I'm sorry. Sorry, Green Bay Packers. I can't find a way to make it work. Jacksonville Jaguars are going to take Kadarius Toney, the wide receiver from Florida. And, yes, what you heard me contemplating there was trying to figure out a way to get Toney to the Packers, because I'm also going to be picking for them here in a couple picks. But I just think, I don't know. Like, again, you got your quarterback if you're the Jags. Now you add a very, very talented playmaker to go along with it. I know, you know, you have to fix some things on the defense as well, but I think if you can get these two as sort of a 1-2 combo there to, you know, you've got DJ Chark, you know, that wide receiver core still needs some revamping. I think overall, they did have Marvin Jones this offseason, but I think someone like Toney, you know, you kind of look at everything on him, like he's one of those guys you could probably plug into a lot of different, you know, ways to use them, especially if you're Urban Meyer, an offensive guy. So I'm going to go with Toney here. As I said, I was really trying to figure out a way to maybe get him to the Packers, but I don't know that he's going to fall to that point maybe.
Yeah, I'm not sure if the Packers would trade up to get him. Like, if there had been maybe a different receiver that had fallen a bit further than we had anyone, maybe you see that happening. But, yeah, like you're saying, for the Jags, they definitely have, as we've talked about, a lot of needs, more than most teams, clearly, after securing the number one pick. They have been drafting mostly on the defensive side in the first round for the past few years. There are some options that definitely would fit needs there, but at the same time, like you're saying, you have Trevor Lawrence, you want to get him weapons. As much as we're locked into Chenault being a solid kind of slot receiver, I think that having Toney filling in there instead, and, you know, he'd still be able to use Chenault, but I think it just gives him another weapon. He has the ability to play outside or inside, but I could see him more kind of in the inside, more of a slot role in this offense. It's just it comes down to, for them, do they want to get that weapon for Trevor or drafting for defense? They really have to be in love with the defender, I guess, here. To make that pick, but yeah, they have so many needs, and they still have a lot of picks after this, and still a lot of talented players on the board. I definitely could see them going this route.
I think if Tony's there, you make that pick. If, you know, if he's not, let's say he's already gone, then I think maybe, you know, you turn to defense here, because I don't really know the wide receiver group. You know, it's kind of hard to project, as we said, above that top tier. of guys, because I feel like, you know, once you get past that very, very top tier, mm-hmm. you start to wonder, you know, where do some of these guys fall? So that's the way I would look at it. So I think, again, if he's there, I just feel like that's probably a really good choice for that kind of versatile guy. You can plug in someone like that that, you know, just offers a variety of different things. So I'll go with him there at number 25, and that means the Cleveland Browns are on the clock at number 26.
Yeah, the Browns in a pretty good spot here for what they need. Could see them going receiver if someone that they really fell in love with fell to this spot. I don't think that's the case in our mock draft here. So I look mostly on defense, you know, obviously bringing in, if you can stay healthy, Clowney, that really helps with the pass rush. That maybe was a need that I would have thought about before. But now, especially with Sheldon Richardson being released, I feel like defensive tackle is got to be one of their top needs. But we have had one linebacker, and it's as much as the Browns, you know, harped on about how last year their secondary was a huge issue, especially at safety. They've already worked on that, so I don't think drafting there makes as much sense. But they don't have the most, you know, just depth at linebacker. And I think one guy that, on at least on big boards, and often is in the top 10, well, at least the top 15 on most of the ones I've looked at, and that's Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah from Notre Dame. So I think I'm actually going to go that route just based on his versatility as a defender. He can kind of play almost safety as well, really. But he has the ability to defend running backs, receivers, tight ends, anything you want. And also just a big play guy that I think just the more of those they can get, they already have now with John Johnson, a kind of a captain of the defense, but having another playmaker in there, I think it's just, I did look, again, defensive tackle is the one position I was like, man, there's one name that we haven't got to, we probably will get to potentially here in the last few picks of the first round that also would have been a great fit, and you just think about that defensive front with them, but I think just Owusu-Koramoah just fell so far down based on just how talented he can be and still fitting a need for the Browns. So I'm going to go with him here at 26.
That's a good pick. I like that one. I think, you know, like we said with the Browns, I mean, they're a team that we saw, you know, they finally had that breakout season they've been waiting for. And now it's just seeing if they can kind of build off of that and kind of have some of that momentum here moving forward, and you know whether that can carry over, because sometimes it's much easier said than done.
Yeah.
on that, I mean, like we've seen that before many times. So yeah, that could be something certainly to keep an eye on here. If they, you know, go this direction now and they just continue to build up some of those areas of needs here for the Browns throughout the draft. All right, number 27, we stay in the AFC North, and the Baltimore Ravens, who I'm going to be picking for twice here over the next several picks. Let's start with this one. I mean, the Ravens, you know, I mean, this is where I think because you're picking so close together, you can go a lot of different ways here. Man, this is, I mean, it's still one that I think there's a lot of, it's still not an easy, just even if having this many picks here for these two, but you know, I think the choice here is you're going defense probably in some way, shape, or form here. I think that I'm going to start with the secondary because I think there's a couple. I think one of the other guys I would want is going to still be there at the next spot. So I'm going to go secondary because I think this guy and some of the mock drafts you looked at, he's already off the board, but for us, he is still there. And that is Trevon Moehrig from TCU. So I'm going to take him. Nice safety to add to the mix for the Ravens. Gives him some more, you know, additions there in the secondary. And, again, I would have maybe tried to wait on him till 31, but I think he would probably go elsewhere if I decided not to pick him here. So I'm going to go with him in this spot. Moehrig, I think he's, you know, again, someone who – probably, I mean, a lot of people think he's, you know, potential top 20, top 25 guy. So getting him here at 27, I think he'd be fine with that if you're the Ravens.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with that, the next first round pick, you still have, like you're saying, other needs that can be filled by guys that are probably still going to be available. So in that way, it makes a lot of sense. And yeah, like you're saying, a guy that very easily, if we went back and did a second mock draft based on just how it all plays out, could easily go a lot higher than this. But at the same time, I won't be surprised if he falls down as far. We've seen safeties and recent drafts that are right at the beginning of draft season really high up, and then by the time it comes, they end up falling sometimes to this part of the first round, even early second round. So I wouldn't be shocked if that happens. But a guy that I think whoever gets him is going to be really happy with him. Really has a huge range, obviously, skilled with his ball skills. And, yeah, man, I think this works out really well for the Ravens in terms of there's some other guys I may have looked at as well. But, again, having that second first-round pick makes a big difference for me, and still a lot of needs that can be filled by who's still available right now.
Well, that leads us back to you here for the New Orleans Saints at number 28. Of course, the Saints, interesting offseason for them because, you know, it's going to be their first without Drew Brees in a good while, and sort of a revamped look there for the Saints here as they move forward. So let's see where they go.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think if Tony had been available still, yeah. I know you're trying to trade.
That's why I was like, I'm not waiting. Yep.
It would have made a lot of sense. A team that obviously has a lot of transition based on it's well documented. They keep kicking the can down the road in terms of their salary cap, and maybe it's not going to be the best season. We'll see. I still think they'll still have a ton of solid and really, you know, great culture and all those kind of things that lend to success, and I still think they'll end up being fine by the end of it. But this pick, a lot of pressure. They've had some really good picks in the second, third round, some other first rounders they've traded up, and some picks that haven't really exactly worked out. I think, yeah, receiver, man, I'm going back down the list of like guys that I can consider, because that's a spot I think they really could use help at, just long term and also just depth wise. It's kind of played out this way, as I mentioned, that there's just so many good defenders still left, and I might go with a guy that I was considering for the last one, but I think they maybe need a little more help with Trey Hendrickson leaving and free agency, maybe a little more help at defensive end. I was still going to look at defensive tackle. Now I'm just going to keep passing on my man that I'll eventually name, even if we don't pick him. This one's tough. I'm going to go, man, looking at some pass rushers to fill in there. I just think that might be, just based on the quality of the guys that are still left, that might be the spot I'm going to go. I'm just trying to figure out which one I want at the moment. Oh, we've already – and I'm going back down our list of guys we've already drafted. We both have taken a lot of defensive ends, haven't we? We've kind of nailed that down. I'm going to go with Carlos Basham Jr. from Wake Forest.
All right.
Probably at least on the list of top edge rushers from guys I've looked at. He's probably the next one that I would look. It fills in great. Obviously, any edge guy, you want him to be consistent and getting to the pass to the quarterback. But I think he also has an ability to really defend against the run pretty well. A guy that is a big dude, just like a lot of these defensive ends that we've been drafted, but he's not afraid to use all that power. And a guy that just fits in well with what the Saints need at this point. Fairly versatile, too, in terms of what he can do. So I think, I thought maybe he was a guy that I was looking at maybe with the Ravens, too, as a player that kind of could have fit there, and in some mocks you'll see him going there. I'm going to regret passing on this defensive tackle that I keep referencing, because I have a feeling he's going to be amazing wherever he ends up. I still think this will be a good pick that the Saints will be happy with.
Yeah, I think that's a good choice. Like you said, that's an area of need potentially there, and for them to go that route. And I think I know who you're talking about the guy you're talking about passing up. But we'll see.
He may be one
of my picks, so we'll see if that's how it turns out. But he won't be the pick at number 29 because the Green Bay Packers are on the clock. And as I said, I was trying to do some maneuvering a couple picks ago to get Kadarius Toney to them, but that did not happen. However, the fact is, they got to take a wide receiver. Like, you got to take a wide receiver in this spot. This is a do-over. I'm not saying nothing against Jordan Love, but just for the spot, like, this is your chance. Like, you need to go out and get a wide receiver here. We talked about it. I think it's an interesting group. I still, you know, I think there are some guys, like we said, beyond that top tier that are still a little bit hard to figure out. But at the same time, I think this is a guy that's starting to get a lot of momentum. I've seen Packers fans talk about him. I, of course, being the SEC homer that I am, we know that I'm probably going to look at some of these guys and feel like that they could really have a chance to excel at the next level. And the Green Bay Packers are finally going to get Devontae Adams some help here by picking Ole Miss wide receiver Elijah Moore.
Yes.
It's going to be the choice. Again, I've seen a lot of people who think this would be a great fit. I don't disagree at all. I think he's someone that really could have a chance to, again, in that system in particular, like, he could be fantastic. And, you know what, even for, like I said, for the Jags, like, I wouldn't have hated that pick from the Jags. I even think this guy, you know, could potentially be a higher. I don't know that he'll go higher, but I think he's, if you talk about just value, I think it'd be sort of a higher value pick than being here at number 29. So if I'm the Packers, I think this is your choice. And maybe this is finally the situation where Aaron Rodgers, if you don't want him to leave, make this selection, and maybe all will be well there.
Yeah, a guy I think that is a little underrated just based on his size. Obviously, given that size, yeah, you'd expect, and he very much is a really good route runner, which we see, obviously, Davante Adams has the size, but a guy, those kind of guys that can just create openings. You don't need much of an opening from Aaron Rodgers to get you the football, and I think that's why he fits well in here, and it's also why I think you made the right choice of not trading up, because as much as they'd like to get Tony, I still think that this might even work out just as well, if not better, for what the Packers need, kind of in the mold of, you look at maybe Randall Cobb kind of skill set in terms of where he can line up just basically everywhere, get those mismatches, and that's what it's all about, again, when you have a quarterback as good as Aaron Rodgers, where he can put the ball wherever he wants. So, finally, yes, I think this would appease Packer fans very much, hopefully, and hopefully he can immediately contribute. I know that's one thing with some of the rookies, especially there, that you want to see these guys step in from day one and make an impact.
Yep, we'll see. I think, again, I think he'd be a fine choice for them there. So we will see if that is the direction they go, or if they just, you know, go wide receiver in general. But I think it would, I just think it would be a really good decision if they did that. I think you'd make fans a little bit more happy if that was the case. So
yeah.
This kind of guy that you can really just, I mean, you know, the speed, the physicality, he's got some weapons here. And I think that he'd be a nice choice here for them. All right, now we go back to you, to the Buffalo Bills, your Buffalo Bills. You're going to get the draft for them here at the number 30 spot.
Only fitting that I get to have them. There's so many names at this point that I'm looking at that I could consider here. The Bills, obviously, as we get down to the end of the first round, we have all these teams that were in the championship games that don't have as glaring of needs. I do think pass rusher is one that just did not see them consistently outside of Jerry Hughes, especially if he ends up leaving after this season. They need a little bit of help there. I'd say, though, on the offensive line, I mean, we saw, as much as I wanted, you know, we talked last time that we bet that we'd end up getting at least one of these running backs drafted of the top couple guys. As much as I really was in considering that and was considering that, I think there's one guy that fills in their biggest need that just is perfectly placed here for the Bills along the offensive line, and that's at center, and that's Landon Dickerson from Alabama. I think he fits perfectly into what they really need, and honestly, I know he's had some issues with injuries. That's the one part that there's one other center I was kind of looking at in this spot, but I think that it's not just the quality of the running backs the Bills have isn't necessarily the issue. They have talented guys that obviously they've struggled a bit with injuries at certain points, especially Zach Moss at the end of last year. They really missed having him out there. But I think I still trust in Singletary. I still think those guys have a lot of talent. I think a lot of the issues with their running game were predicated more from the offensive line. And Dickerson, a lot of the teams we look at needed tackles, and it just worked out really well for them that arguably the best interior offensive lineman available is still there. So I think Dickerson, maybe not the flashiest pick, not, you know, looking at still the couple of running backs that we have here and how fun that could be to see them with Josh Allen. I think having a number one center for the future with him is obviously something they would like to have as well. And I think by the end of it, Bills fans would be really happy with this pick.
Yeah, I think so too. That's certainly a nice selection, I feel like, for the Bills, and like you said, someone who can kind of anchor that and be able to propel that side of the ball forward there for them. So never hurts going the Alabama route when you know, from the SEC homer himself. So, yeah, I like that choice for the Bills. Now we go to the Ravens. Number 31, back on the clock here. Remember, several picks ago, we took Trevon Moehrig from TCU to add to the secondary, and now it's a matter of figuring out who we're going to add with him because this is it's a tough choice. I've been looking at different options here, and I've been trying to figure it out. You know, we talked about the wide receiver situation, and I just don't know – that there's one in particular that's still there. Again, LSU, SEC, Homer. Terrace Marshall from LSU is still on the board, and I think he is someone that, man, like I feel like, you know, it never hurts to help Lamar Jackson, right? Like, I mean, it never hurts to invest in players to help Lamar Jackson. Something I need to do here because I hadn't looked at this. How many picks do the Ravens have now? Because they made the Orlando Brown trade, right?
Yeah.
And so they moved up to 31. So now they've got 27, 31. And then they don't have a second-round pick. They have two third rounds, two fourth round, two fifth, and one sixth. So.
Solid amount.
Well, I mean, you know, you make a trade like that, and, man, it's tough. Like, this is one of the harder picks thus far, also because it's our last pick here for me of this round. But do I go wide receiver, or do we just keep it simple and go defense again because we know the Ravens love their defense, and they've already got a guy to help in the secondary. Now it's do they take a chance on somebody like, you know, Gregory Russo from Miami. He's someone that I think, you know, there was an interesting, what was it, Rappaport put out something about an anonymous scout on him or something. So that makes me wonder, is he going to maybe fall a little bit? But, man, at the same time, like, I feel like he's someone that, and, you know, he opted out of this past season. So I feel like that's kind of, those are hard situations to really know. But, you know, we mentioned too, I'm not going to take it, but we teased in the last episode about how many running backs could go here in this spot. Well, it turns out, like, there could only be one at this point because we're down to our last pick here with you with the Bucks. But, dude, this is a tough one.
It's tough, and the thing is, like, their positions of need, I would argue, outside of, like, you're looking at receiver, I'd say really edge rusher and even tackle. And I think there's still a couple guys here, one edge rusher I passed on that we talked about before we started recording. I was like, man, maybe that, looking back, I maybe should have taken him. But then there's also one, talking about your SEC bias, there's one
I know, that's
one Alabama guy that I feel like, you know, obviously with I think they were going to sign somebody, though, after trading Orlando.
That's what I was thinking. That's why I didn't think they would go offensive line, because I just don't know that that's – but then again, because they don't have a second-round pick, and when you look at some of these guys, which, again, they could always get – they could always find a way to get one, like, you know, as we go throughout. They can,
especially with two third-rounders.
Yeah, they could find a way to acquire a second-round pick at this point, and I wouldn't be shocked if they did. But I know who you're thinking. Alex Leatherwood is there, and I think – I was looking at him. He was on – he's on my list of three here. And, yes, it's very – but see, that's the only question I had about that one.
So it's Alejandro Villanueva that they visited with last week and that they're really looking at to replace. And that's the thing. I think if they can land him, then that makes that a little more difficult to justify given the talent of the other guys that are available. So
maybe I hold off, even though I think Leatherwood would be a good – I think he'd be a good pick for them. But I think I'll hold off then on that because – if they make that signing, I don't think they go that direction. So, with that said, I feel like I'm going a lot of offense here with my picks, but it's just, like, I feel like some of these guys are really good. And so, I mean, edge, I guess, is probably the best way to go here. And I think I will just, I mean, the thing that worries me is that report, like I said, from on Russo and all that, like we saw, like about the anonymous scout and that kind of, you never know about that kind of stuff though. It's like maybe that's the Ravens anonymous scout saying, let him to fall. All right, that's what we're going with. That's the narrative we're building up. Gregory Russo, Miami, number 31 pick to the Ravens. We're building that up as the narrative. They said all this because they want this guy to fall to them at 31. So I think by getting a good addition to, you know, a guy, like we said, at 27, who probably fell down the board a little further than you thought, now a guy here at 31 who may fall down a little further than you thought because of, you know, some of this other stuff about the anonymous reports and everything, I think you're okay with that if you're the Ravens. So that's the direction we're going to go here.
Yeah, I think it ends up being a solid choice for them. There are some mocks that have him going in the second round. I think he's talented enough, and he obviously was not playing last year. Just what he put on the field in 2019, I don't think you just completely lose that.
Right.
And obviously with some polishing in a great system there in Baltimore where he's not going to be alone with all the talent they have on that defense that they can kind of reload a little bit this year. So I think that ends up being a really good pick for them.
Because they lost, we got to remember who they lost to, like in free agency. Like they lost several guys. So it's like, that's not like, I think for the Ravens to pick up that spot, like that's clearly an area of need. So.
Yeah, exactly. I think it fits in a perfect need as well with the high potential you have. So like you're saying, there are other guys, and I think if they, like we're saying about Leatherwood, I think that could have made sense. But if he does fall not too much further, like you're saying, they could trade back into the second round if they wanted to, if they really wanted to grab him. So there's still options. And I think, it's that upside that you see with him. And every single one of these edge guys has been massive, too. I didn't realize he's 6'7".
He's huge.
Big, but 6'7".
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I feel like Harbaugh is salivating over this, but like I just feel like you look at this guy and you got to be like, all right, like come on. I mean, come on, this guy's huge. So
it's crazy upside, and that's the thing. And I think he's going to be fine. He has the frame and everything, and it's not like you're just placing him into any defense. He's going to have so many talented players around him, such a great culture and a coaching staff that I think he'd fit right in.
Well, that's two Miami players going pretty close together. I took Jalen Phillips back at 23 to the Jets. So I actually like, the more I think about it, I like this pick. And we'll see if he drops to this point or if he maybe, continues to drop. But I think if he's there, I think that's a fine addition for the Ravens.
Yeah.
So we wrap it up 100%. With the champs, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, number 32. I don't think they're going quarterback. So let's see what they do.
Yeah, this is the tough one for me because it's the same guy. It's Christian Barmore from Alabama that I've been, looking at this whole time. And he fits right. I mean, you look at how dominant this defensive line is. And it's obviously the reason, large part, that they won the Super Bowl was just the constant pressure they got against the banged up Chiefs offensive line. Really tempted, though, because I'd say the other need, and it's not really a need even with Christian Barmore if they put him in. It's just an embarrassment of riches to have him and Vita Vey in the middle there with Shaq Barrett with Ndamukong Suh. It's like, holy cow. That's the thing that I keep coming back to, and we haven't been the focus on defense. But at the same time, you look at all the skill players they have on offense, and you'd say that one of the need is probably running back at this point. And Najee Harris is still there, and Chas Etienne is still there. So it becomes a tough one for me, and I need to look at, if some team would even trade up to grab one of those guys, if they one of the running backs they really wanted them, if Tampa Bay knew they could just wait a little bit longer to get Barmore. But I don't think Barmore's going to stay much longer regardless. Oh gosh, this is probably one of the tougher picks. Oh man, wow. This is probably my hardest one, and it's funny because it's a team
right.
That
that was my last one was the hardest one. Yeah.
I would say that they probably have the least needs here of any team. There was a reason throughout the year that they consistently were ranked at the top of DVOA despite not having the best of records with a lot of close losses and just weird things that kind of happened. They were really balanced, really, really balanced roster. They somehow are able to basically bring back everyone this year. I didn't even mention Jason Pierre-Paul when I was talking about their defensive line. It's like, how many guys can you have? And it's obviously, I think Barmore would be great in there. But I think just thinking about Najee Harris and Tom Brady, we've seen so many running backs that have, if they can catch the ball and if they're able to make plays in space, they really, really can thrive with Tom. Yeah, he's a guy that loves, with all those weapons too, you're going to have a lot of one-on-one matchups. It's just another matchup problem for whoever they're facing. So I'm going to go with Najee Harris. I'm going to end up fulfilling what we said in terms of one, or at least one running back going in our first round. It feels a little bit almost how I felt last year when the Chiefs got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and I was like, oh, you're just going to add him to the Chiefs offense. It kind of feels a little bit like that here. And as much as I won't be shocked if they get Barmore, I won't be shocked if Barmore goes well before this, really. Might be more likely what ends up happening. Both these guys could, Barmore and Najee, could end up going earlier in the first round, but I'll go with Harris just because I'm just thinking about that offense and all the talent they have, and they still have talent. I still not against playoff Lenny and what Ronald Jones really developed into last season, but I think Najee Harris has a chance to, with that offensive line that they have and the weapons they have, just be another really big X factor that makes the Bucks probably. There's a reason why a lot of people think they could go back to back.
Yeah, I was gonna say if he's there at number 32, I think it's a no-brainer. Like he's, I just look, and that's not just my SEC bias, sure, but it's like if he's the number 32 pick in this draft, like come on, like that guy, I think that guy's really really good. And I know we always talk about, you know, first round running backs and the long term value of running backs and all this other stuff, but man, I think if he's there, I can't see Bruce Arians passing up on someone like that.
That's the thing. You're right. They got Bruce in there. It's not like, you don't have a decision maker who's not thinking about what they're going to do on offense. It is just getting ready to drop all those plays for him. So,
yeah, I think that's the direction they go. And then, you know, if you look at those next picks, the picks to start the second round, the Jags are at 33, the Jets at 34, Falcons 35, Dolphins 36, Eagles at 37. Then I think you quickly see, you know, Travis Etienne going off there somewhere quickly. I can't imagine one of these running backs not getting picked in the first round. But as we said, it's pretty crazy. So we'll see.
It happens, but it feels like not even just naming Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but like even other guys in the last few years just end up kind of the value. You're like, you know, it's not like years past where the running backs are going top, you know, Todd Gurley, top 10 kind of situations, but they end up getting to that point where it's like, well, he's available in the 30s or the 20s, and you're like, all right, now I don't care about the like all the issues about value. You're like, this guy's this good, we're this good, especially for Tampa Bay, a team that's trying to just capitalize on this window, even if the window never seemingly closes with Tom Brady, which is ridiculous. But nonetheless, they're just trying to capitalize, so it just fits into what they're trying to do here.
Yeah, I think so too. So there you go. There is our mock draft for the 2021 NFL draft. And Dylan, I'm thinking back now. I'm going to give you one opportunity here. I'm going to tell you mine. You were the one that made the trade, though. I'll say this. I think if the Falcons stay at four, which we ultimately, you traded up with the Patriots to number four to get Trey Lance. I think if the Falcons stay at four, I think that becomes the most interesting thing, because then if Justin Fields does not go three, then I think the Falcons have a decision to make. It's either Justin Fields or Kyle Pitts at four, and I think that will be a fascinating decision if the Falcons do stay in that spot. That's the one I look back down our board and I keep thinking about. I'm like, and I said this in the first part too, I don't think Mac Jones is going to the Broncos. Ultimately, I picked him at nine, but I kind of said, hey, I feel like this is one where – like, he's got to go off the board, and I just don't, you know, I don't feel like he can drop any further than this. So I put him with the Broncos, but I can see that as kind of that trade spot where maybe the Broncos are trading up. Someone else maybe trades. I don't think the Broncos are trading back. I think, if anything, the Broncos trade up to get one of those quarterbacks. But those are the ones, at least to me, stand out here as I look at our board. But overall, I mean, I think, as we said, there's a lot of potential variety here, because we talked about it. Pass one and two, things get pretty chaotic from there.
Yep, especially this year. It felt like, I mean, I guess last year it ended up just kind of like there were rumors that teams might trade up to get to and different things, and it ended up kind of playing out how we thought it might. This year, oh man, like as we talked about when we recorded, we felt like if the Niners took Jones or Lance, we felt like if we were sitting there at the Falcons number four, we'd just take Fields. I know Matt Ryan's still got some years ahead of him, but I think, you know, especially with Arthur Smith coming in, there's a chance to turn the page and start looking ahead and not worrying about that position, instead of, you know, having to do it next year or the year after, and maybe you're in the middle and you're not able to get that number four pick again. It just becomes tough. And obviously, if Pitts still would be a great option, I think, for Atlanta at number four, and a lot of, depending on who goes number three, and a lot of mock drafts, he's still there. The thing is, like, a lot of the mock drafts are adjusting, not necessarily, like, I've seen ones where they had Fields, like us, at number three, but then because of the reports, it's changing, and it's like, would the Falcons just sit there and not take Pitts, and if Fields drops, like, how far is he dropping? Like, I think a team quickly trades up to get him if he goes, like, say goes Jones at three, four, the Falcons just stay, but they take Pitts. Now, I don't think the Bengals or Dolphins are moving back. Maybe like only a pick or two because of the guys that they want to take at that point.
I could see the Broncos trading up for Fields.
I was going to say the Broncos could trade up to like 7 and easily and grab him. I guess they could to 5 or 6 too, if depending on how much they gave up. The Broncos are the team, like you're saying. I think they would sit, and I think they would take Lance, and we talked about it when we reported it. They made a decent amount of sense to us there. The Bears could trade up. I wouldn't doubt it.
That's true.
If Lance fell out of the top 10 or like to 9 and the Broncos have already traded up to take Fields, then that's in play. And we have the Panthers in our mock. We had Pitts falling all the way to 8. I don't think that's going to happen, but I think the Panthers are a weird – in a kind of interesting spot, whether to trade back or to still, they could take a quarterback. So
right.
I know they just got Cam, but I don't know. I wouldn't doubt it, any of it. It's going to be pretty nuts. I don't think, like you said, when you drafted Mac with the Broncos at number 9 and I traded up for Lance, I don't think that's exactly going to play out that way, but I do think someone may trade up to get Lance, let alone Fields. Now that information, if we knew it, we still, obviously our pick, we still felt that Fields is the right spot. And number 3, but I don't know. At this point, it doesn't seem like it's going to happen, so it's more fun to think about that. And maybe, I think we're going to record one episode that's going to come out the morning of the first round, so we'll definitely get into all those kind of things.
I was going to say, I guarantee we're going to have a lot more rumors to discuss probably for the next episode, because, yes, it will come out on Thursday, the first day of the draft, and so we will have plenty to discuss as we go into that, and then as usual, we will do our extra bonus episode that we do during the draft to kind of run through the fallout from the first round as well. So, Dylan, for now, all those rumors we talked about, all the discussion, the speculation, lots of it's over at Clutch Points.
Yeah, you can read about all those rumors. We've got everything NFL draft heavily covered this week. If you go to clutchpoints.com to the NFL section, all of it will be there. But if you search NFL draft, you'll only get a stream of our draft content. The same thing on the Clutch Points app in the NFL section there. We're going to have a lot of articles about everything that's happening in real time with the draft, all rumors, any trades, obviously, anything that may have almost happened, pretty much anything you would care about we'll have covered. We'll also have breakdowns of all the top draft picks early on, some live grades I believe we're probably going to do again during the draft, so you can find out on clutchpoints.com. And otherwise, still NBA games, follow in the app, MLB games. Not pumped about how the Dodgers series went this weekend, but hey, at least they got one.
I think they'll be okay. I don't think I would have too many long-term concerns about the Dodgers right now. Meanwhile, some of these NFL teams got some long-term concerns, and we will see if they address them in the draft. But yeah, check out all the draft stuff over at Clutch Points. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Any podcast app you use, you can find us there. And thanks, as always, to the fine folks at Blue Wire for all that they do. And thank you, as always, for listening. We'll talk to you guys next time here on the Establish the Pass podcast.